The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone and welcome. You're listening to a William Hill's Punt Podcast, looking at the four matches in the Capital One Cup this midweek and reflecting on the European draws in both the Champions League and the Europa League. My name's Dave Kellner and I'm joined in the studio by Lee Phelps to look ahead to these Capital One Cup matches and look at the Champions League draw, which was, of course, very interesting, as it always is. You see people tweeting Lee and messaging following a draw and saying, that's a difficult draw. Isn't it? It's meant to be tough. This is the Champions League. It's the knockout stages.
It's not a gimme.
This is Arsenal you're talking about, remember. I think we better start with Manchester City's draw, because for the second successive season, they've got Barcelona in the Champions League. We've got prices out on the website as well. Manchester City will be at home first. They're 12-5. The draw 13-5. Barca 21-20 in that game at the Etihad, which is scheduled for the 24th of February. Last year, I think a lot of fans were pleased with the draw because they wanted to see Manchester City go up against the best for footballing reasons. But this year, they just wanted a gimme. They wanted a penalty kick. You get the pun?
Yeah.
And they've not got one. They've got Barca.
Absolutely terrible. You can't even count that as a pun, really. It's weird how they just keep getting the same teams every year, isn't it? They keep getting drawn against CSKA in the groups and Bayern Munich, and then, you know, they get Barcelona. I suppose it gives you an opportunity to see how far you're progressing, but yeah, I mean,
they've regressed, Lee. Haven't
they? They have?
I think so, yeah.
They've got through. They've done just as well as they did in last season by getting through, second in the group. Now we'll see what they're... I mean, when I watched them against Roma, I must admit, I suddenly thought to myself, well, if they can play like this throughout the rest of the Champions League, then they can progress, because they weren't expansive. They sat in, they were organised, they stopped Roma playing, they got the ball back off Roma and they finished their chances. That's all you really need to do in the Champions League, to be honest with you. We know Barcelona aren't the Barcelona of old, but to be fair, in the Champions League, you know, Suarez, Neymar, Messi, all playing very well indeed. It's going to be, obviously, going to be tough for Manchester City, but, you know...
Have they progressed enough to turn around the 4-1 deficit in the aggregate from last year?
I don't know is the answer to that. I mean, before the Bayern Munich game, I'd have said absolutely, categorically no. There was something about that Bayern Munich game that, you know, that I thought they could get something out of that. And I was quite confident in them going to Roma. You know, put them up on the punt when they went there. I thought they'd win the game. And they didn't really seem to be in too much bother. I know Joe Hart made saves, but you'd expect him to at that level. You know, they've gone to Rome. You know, this brilliant defensive machine that Rome were, apparently, and scored two goals against them and kept a clean sheet. But, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, in a sense, obviously, it would have been better the other way around. Now, what's probably going to happen here is that they're going to... I wouldn't be surprised if the first leg is a draw and they have to go to Barcelona and do what they did in Rome. And I wouldn't put that past them.
Wow.
As long as they can keep... As long as they're in the game going to Barcelona, I'd quite fancy them. Because they're capable of getting an away goal. Obviously, the big thing here is that we don't know about if Aguero's going to be fit in March.
Yeah.
You have to kind of think he will be fit by then.
13-8, by the way, they are to qualify Manchester City.
Why is
Barcelona,
that mad, though?
4-9. Because Barcelona are too strong.
Are they, though?
Yes. I think they
haven't they regressed?
They're not performing as well, maybe, as you would expect in La Liga so far this season. But
the Champions League form has been better, I must admit.
But I don't know if they've regressed. And if you've got Messi, Neymar, and Suarez in the same team up front, they're going to beat Manchester City.
Fair enough,
in my opinion. But 13-8, is that a value price on Manchester City's qualify? I'd say no.
No, probably not. No.
4-9 for Barcelona to qualify. So maybe the right price. That's what our compilers have put out anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be looking at City to get something out of that first.
Yes.
I think it all depends on how that home leg goes. You know, that they can't afford to lose it in the first leg. That's the most important thing, first and foremost. They can't do what they did last season, which is lose the first leg 2-0, because you just give yourself too much of a mountain to climb. A 0-0 draw at home would be great, to be fair. Just be sensible about it. Get a 0-0, go to Barcelona, nick an away goal, and then see where it goes. What about Chelsea as well?
Manchester City and Chelsea couldn't have been handed two worse draws, could they, really?
Yeah, but at least with Man City, they've finished second in the group. Fair enough. Yeah. You get what you're given. But Chelsea have won the group. They've got the worst possible team in the next round.
Yeah, they get PSG. Mm. Chelsea 4-9 to qualify. PSG 13-8. And Chelsea will be away first on the 17th of February. Paris Saint-Germain 17-10 to win that game. The draw 21-10. Chelsea 17-10. This is a team, whereas you debating whether City have progressed in 12 months, this is a team that you know has progressed in the last 12 months. In Chelsea.
Yes. I thought you were talking about PSG. Definitely. I think PSG are very similar to Man City. I think they're in a very similar stage of their development in the Champions League. I think you'll see a kind of a correlation between the two. It'd be interesting to see who does manage to break through into the quarterfinals and then the semi-finals. PSG, in the domestic league, they're a point behind Marseille at the moment. They haven't been playing particularly great. Lost that game to Barcelona 3-1. Maybe that's a good example of where they are at the moment. Messi, Neymar, Suarez in the team, they punished PSG. I mean, look at the goal scorers in that game, with Zlatan getting the opener, of course. But they didn't do much else wrong, to be perfectly honest. They went to Ajax and only drew 1-1. If you're looking at kind of collateral form, they played each other, of course, last year, didn't they? PSG they beat them 3-1. In France, Chelsea won 2-0. So, I think it's tough. I think with Mourinho at the helm here, I think he'll find a way of beating PSG.
I agree.
The two legs.
If you look at these prices identical to the qualification prices for Barcelona and Manchester City.
Yeah.
Who would you rather back to qualify? This is the question that you've got to answer, Lee, as the pundit on this programme. Who would you rather back to qualify, Manchester City or Paris Saint-Germain?
Man City.
Okay.
Because Chelsea, I think Jose Mourinho's a master in Europe.
Yeah, I think Chelsea have progressed more in 12 months.
He knows what to do, doesn't he?
Manchester City, yeah.
And I think we talk about it a lot, don't we? That defence they've got with Matic in front of them, I think they're very strong. I think they're suited to Europe, and I think they're suited to play the big teams. PSG aren't all that. They've got some fantastic players, but they're not kind of. I wouldn't be as scared of PSG as I would be, obviously, of a Bayern Munich or Real Madrid, or even Atletico, or even Dortmund, maybe. I think they're much more expansive and able to beat you on the day. I think Mourinho can mastermind a victory over PSG.
Yeah.
But it's going to be tough.
I agree. And Arsenal, the only other team left in the only other team domestically left in the competition, they drew Monaco.
Yeah, must be rubbing their hands together.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot going around on Twitter saying he knew what he was doing, Arsene Wenger, when sacrificing that 3-goal lead against Anderlecht. Yeah. Because they eventually finished second in the group, they drew Monaco, whereas Borussia Dortmund, who finished top of the group, get Juventus. Arsenal 1-4 to qualify against Monaco, who are 11-4. Arsenal should progress.
Yeah, they should. Yeah,
really?
Monaco's lack of goals in the group was pretty startling. Scored 4 goals in the group, 3 of those goals coming in the last 2 matches. And they eventually won the group. By a point from Bayer Leverkusen, but it was the weakest group in the Champions League. Monaco, Bayer Leverkusen, Zenit and Benfica. So it was a measly old group. I think they need more firepower than they've got. Obviously, they got into the Champions League with some tremendous players and then sold them all. Well, not all, but sold the majority of their best players. So, this is fallen into Arsene Wenger's lap here. He's obviously going, familiar with Monaco, French opposition, all the rest of it. There'll be plenty of build-up to it. Obviously dependent on where they are at the time, Arsenal. But, I think you'd have to say that maybe they've had the worst part of their season so far. And if they're firing on all cylinders and Sanchez is fit and they've got Giroud playing well and other players have come back into the fold with Welbeck as well, if they've got plenty of strength in depth, I think they'll beat Monaco. I think they'll beat them both legs.
Okay, as far as the outright's concerned, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid 5-2 joint favourites following the draw here with William Hill. Barcelona 5-1, Chelsea 8-1, Manchester City 14s, Atletico Madrid 16-1, Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain both 20s, 25s bar. The outright market had a little bit of a shake-up. Barcelona drifted slightly, as you would expect, because they drew Manchester City, who also drifted as a result of the draw. Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, two easy ties, and they hardened at the top of the betting subsequently.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, Bayern Munich going to Shakhtar, you know, they should get the job done, you know, home and away, really, you'd think. And the same with Real Madrid at Schalke, you know.
They beat them 9-2 on aggregate, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've got what they deserve. They won the groups comfortably, and they've got the right opposition. Borussia Dortmund, Juventus, maybe a bit trickier, but I'm not too keen on Serie A at the minute, to be honest with you. I think it's the weakest of the top European divisions at the moment. Maybe ahead of France. It's a tough call. Do you know what? I've said Bayern Munich from the start. If I'm picking between the two of them, I think it will be one of the two of them. Just because no team's ever retained the Champions League.
Yeah.
And that's a stupid thing to kind of go on. But, I mean, when I watch Real Madrid, I think maybe they could retain the Champions League. But you know, I think Bayern Munich, with the coach, with the quality they've got in depth, with the fact that they won't have much to play for at home, they can concentrate fully on the Champions League. I'll stick with Bayern Munich. I don't really see anyone from the pack either, really. You know, I don't really see anyone... Atletico, I'm not sure they've really improved this season. I'm not having Dortmund.
I think Chelsea are the team at 8-1.
Can they do both? Can they do the Premier League and that?
I think they can. It will help if they establish a big advantage in the Premier League, obviously. But I think they have the personnel, Chelsea, to do
that.
Yeah,
you're right. They're probably the ones you would look at. They've just got such a tough tie to get past, haven't they? The PSG tie. But if they get past that, then get a favourable draw in the next round, then they could have every chance. But I wouldn't venture too far away from the other two. There's one quick one. The British team to progress further.
Yes,
I mean I know we're both saying Chelsea. You know, probably will are a good bet at that. But I think Arsenal at 7-2. You know, you got Chelsea playing PSG, who could beat them obviously on the night. Got quality players. Man City, where, you know, saying that it might be a struggle against Barcelona. You know. Chelsea and Man City could feasibly go out in the next stage.
Yep.
Arsenal 7-2.
It's an interesting price.
They should get past Monaco.
Yeah, they should. 4-5 Chelsea in that market. Man City 2-1. Arsenal 7-2. Check that out. Go to football, all competitions, and the Champions League. You'll see the full range of markets there. And we've also got the full range of the Europa League markets following the draw after the Champions League. And Liverpool drew Besiktas. And they gave Tottenham and Arsenal at a difficult time.
Yeah, Demba Ba, of course, who wasn't playing in the last game, but Demba Ba has been playing unbelievably well for Besiktas. We know how hard it is to go to Turkey, etc., etc. Liverpool got great memories of going to the country, especially in Europe. This is February. I mean, who knows what Liverpool will be like in February, but if they were playing this now, you'd be all over Besiktas, wouldn't you? I mean, I don't think you can comment, can you? Without knowing what Liverpool are like. Will they have signed a new striker? What will they have done? I mean, I find it very difficult to know what to do with Liverpool at the moment now, let alone in February. You know, at least like with Chelsea and Man City and Arsenal, you know what they're about, don't you?
Yes.
We know that you can be fairly confident in the fact that they will be playing to a certain level. I've got no idea about Liverpool at the minute. I think we'll talk about them in the Capital One Cup previews in a second, but I think there are signs that they are improving, but I don't know.
We'll talk about Tottenham as well in the Capital One Cup in a few months' time. They drew Fiorentina and Celtic drew Inter. Celtic will be, I think they'll be happy that they've drawn Inter Milan, because Inter Milan have been poor under Roberto Mancini. His second spell at the club, and they've not, at time of recording, won a game in Serie A. They are playing this evening. They've not won a game in Serie A under Mancini yet.
No, and as I said before, I'm not a massive fan of Serie A at all. I think obviously it's better than the Scottish Premier, but I think Celtic's great home form and etc. I mean, Inter did do well in the groups. You know, they did what they had to do, didn't lose a game, but the opposition wasn't particularly great.
It wasn't.
No. I mean, you'd be looking at Celtic getting something out of the, I think getting something out of the home tie. Whether they can go away and shut up shop, I'm not sure. Tottenham is an interesting one there, of course. Is Mika Richards playing for Fiorentina now? So a little bit of interest. He'll absolutely love the fact that he can play again in, against an English team. I think with the lesser teams, of which are, you know, Tottenham, Liverpool, and Celtic, compared to the Champions League ones, I think it's very hard to predict who's going to be the most in tune come next this time next season. I think it's a tricky one to call. I don't think we've got any markets on who will go the furthest.
No.
In that. But I tell you what, the team who've impressed me most of all the British teams have been Everton.
Yes.
And I think they've got probably arguably the easiest of the four draws going into the next round against Young Boys. I mean, Young Boys, we've seen quite a lot of them over the past few years. They seem to always get drawn against English clubs, and English clubs always seem to get drawn against Swiss sides in the Champions League and Europa League. But, you know, I think Roberto Martinez is, I don't know if it's for his CV or just because he you know, it suits his style of football more, but I think they've been great in Europe, Everton, much better than they have been in the Premier League. So, you know, at the moment, if we had a market on who would go furthest in the Europa League, I think I'd be going Everton.
From a betting perspective, though, Lee, we'll analyse these matches close to the time, won't we? From a personal perspective, it's not something that I'd want to be betting on now in terms of the qualification markets and indeed the 90-minute markets. They're up on the website, but you've got to keep your powder dry, haven't you?
The only market I could be tempted with at the minute is the Arsenal
to progress further in the Champions League.
We talk about checking team news when we record the punt on a Friday before the weekend. I'm not advocating anyone have a bet on any match that takes place in February and March. Mm. It's just interesting, I suppose, isn't it?
Let's move on to the Capital One Cup, because some good bets at this stage of the competition. Quarter-final stages, and these four matches played over Tuesday and Wednesday night, and we'll start off with Derby County.
Are you going to mention my winning that, by the
Chelsea
way? I've waited this long.
I know you have.
17 minutes and
17
20 seconds.
Minutes, I mean, I was on the under. I was on the under the 17 minutes, I must admit. Definitely.
So you've lost another one?
Yeah, I've lost another one. I'm annoyed about that because...
You're always annoyed when I win and you lose.
I'm always annoyed. I'm waiting for this evening's match, folks, because if you didn't listen to the punt on that was recorded on Thursday this week, Lee put up what he considers a convincing argument to back under 2.5 goals in the QPR match
tonight. I thought it was just an argument. Derek was the one who said it was the, you know, he said sublime, didn't he?
He said sublime.
And friends on Twitter have bolstered it as well. It's nice of them.
So, if anyone
that must
knows,
hurt when other people compliment my arguments.
Yeah, well,
you
if
can
it,
see the pain.
Precisely, if anyone knows my personality and listens to this pun, you'll know how desperate I am for this game this evening to go over 2.5 goals, and not even I want over 3.5 goals. I won't be happy with just
the
3 goal matches.
I'm going to predict 4-4 right here, right now.
That would be nice. and obviously had the winning nap on the punt with Wilfred Boney. What about Derek though? We'll have to talk to him about Burnley at the weekend. And
I think he's got a bit lucky, actually.
For the second week in succession, just one losing bet on the treble, which is frustrating.
It's not bad, though.
It's not been Derek's yet, has it?
You know, our friend on Twitter, he listens to a lot of our podcasts. Is it Shane?
Yes, Shane Bannon.
Bannon. Did you see what he put about that since Derek's come back, he's raised the bar?
Yes.
But it was a particularly low bar. It was, wasn't it? I had to have a little laugh at that because we weren't in particularly great form before Derek got back.
No, we weren't.
He has been good there.
That's when the season started, wasn't it?
I think the break did him well.
Do you think it motivated him for the new year?
Cleared the decks a little bit.
Derby versus Chelsea then. Derby 6-1, draw 3-1, Chelsea 1-2. This is just a one-legged affair. Chris Martin to score, Derby to win, 12-1, one of the two headline offers. The other one's Oscar to score and Chelsea to win, both these in 90 minutes, and that's 3-1. Derby third in the Championship at the moment, Lee, and they've been free scoring at home, but they must improve from that performance at the weekend. I watched that match in this studio and they were outplayed for large periods against Middlesbrough.
Poor, weren't they?
Yeah, really poor. Got beaten 2-0. Ryan Shotton suspended as well following his sending off in that match. In the last couple of rounds, Derby have beaten Reading and Fulham. Obviously, this is a step up in class playing Chelsea, who have been less than convincing in this competition, and Jose Mourinho uses it to rotate that squad, which is deep. It is a deep squad. Mohamed Salah likely to play. You're probably going to see Andre Schürrle included as well. Petr Cech's going to be in net. And you'd imagine Kurt Zouma will start in place of John Terry. That's how he's been working it, resting Terry for these Capital One Cup clashes.
Yeah, it's still a good side, obviously. But I think just the fact that they're not regulars, it makes it a little disjointed. And they've looked... I've watched both the previous games, actually, and they've looked like they're happy to just motor along in second gear. And then when they need to put the foot down on the pedal, they do it. And they've done that twice. They were leading. They got pegged back, and then they won the game 2-1 in both the previous matches. The last one being against Shrewsbury, of course, away from home. And as you say, it was a much changed side. Still quality in there. Quality through the first 11, and then with the likes of Willian, Matic, and Hazard coming off the bench. Admittedly, Hazard came on deep into stoppage time. That they've always made sure they've got something on the bench. I don't think it's a competition that Mourinho takes lightly. Obviously, he won it in his first spell with Chelsea. So I think he'd love to, win it again. I don't see no reason why they wouldn't want to. But I think the way they played against Bolton and Shrewsbury, I think they'd have to be a little bit more at it against Derby. I don't think they can go there in second gear and expect to just to keep going up the gears. Derby are, like you say, free scoring. Only once have they failed to score at home this season. That was in the 0-0 draw with Millwall. And just looking at that game at the weekend, I mean, they've all been pretty honest about it, and they've pretty much come out. Read an interview with Richard Keogh saying, it was just one of the days. It was poor. I mean, to be fair, they got beat by Leeds the last away game as well. So their away form has become patchy. But anyone who's been to Derby on a night match, especially now that they're under this resurgence, I mean, even when they were pretty poor, when Robbie Savage was captain, the crowd was huge. And the crowd is very, very vocal. And they
There's a correlation there.
Yeah. But at the minute, this club is flying. We were down there a few weeks ago with Robbie. And it's just a real buzz about the place. It's got a feeling of it being a Premier League club. Missed out narrowly last year. They expected to go up last year the way they were playing. And I think they're really confident of going up. And I think the players, rather than it being a game where they're worried about playing against these Chelsea players, I think they're actually looking forward to testing themselves. So I think they could give Chelsea a game here.
I think Cesc Fabregas is the interesting one, because he was suspended against Hull. I wonder whether he'll be tempted to start Fabregas in this game. It would be a surprise if he did.
Need?
Maybe not any need.
I
there's a bet that I love here, and I'll put this one out to you. Obviously, you're going to be doing the tipping here.
No, mate, I'm all for you helping out here.
Well, what about Chelsea to win and both teams to score in the game?
Yeah, I like it.
11-5.
Yeah, that's
over 2-1.
Sort of thing I was looking at. I'd be surprised if they keep a clean sheet, because I just don't think Chelsea will be quite at it.
I think when you break up the Cahill-Terry axis,
It
makes them infinitely more vulnerable at the back. Yeah. And if Nemanja Matic doesn't play... We saw how they struggled to go to. I don't see him playing. We saw how they struggled to go to Newcastle and keep things tight at the back without him in the team, providing that comfort for the centre halves. I like Derby to get a goal in this game at the very least.
I do as well. I think that's a good bet. And looking at Chelsea's performances, they were good against Sporting. Sporting poor away from home, though, by the way. So they won 3-1. The game against Hull, Hull were in that for a long chunks. Until Huddleston went off when it was 1-0. I thought Hull, I'm not saying they were going to beat Chelsea, but they were keeping them at bay, and that was at Stamford Bridge. The 3-0 win against Tottenham, Tottenham gave them a right old going over for 20 minutes. Chelsea just eased past them. They just scored their goals. And that's the thing. Chelsea usually will always take their chances. If they haven't got their full team out, will he rest Costa again, for this sort of game? Put Drogba in. Drogba's not as mobile. Obviously, he's a very good player. There's a little bit of me tempted to go for Derby.
Yeah, 6-1.
Just a little bit of me tempted, but I just don't think it's quite good enough. Plus a goal, 13-8. It's one of those where the 6-1's tempting, but nothing else is.
Yes.
I think I'm going to have a little dabble on the 6-1, just for fun, but the main bet would be the one that you put up, which is I think Chelsea will get the job done. Chelsea to win and both teams to score.
That's 11-5. I do like both teams to score in this game as well. 10-11, yes, for both teams to score if you're being slightly more cautious.
We haven't got any goal scorer prices, have we, at the moment on the site, unfortunately. So when they come up, I mean, a lot of people will want to get involved with Chris Martin because he's been so good this season. Johnny Russell's been in good nick as well in the League Cup. Midfielder breaks forward. So it might be worth a little look there.
I'd be getting involved with Andre Schürrle for Chelsea. I very surprised that he didn't start against Hull.
Very good player, isn't he?
Very surprised. Given the way he played against Sporting Lisbon, I thought that might be the performance he needed to get a starting berth in a Premier League match. But Jose Mourinho obviously decided to stick to his tried and tested method and didn't go with Schürrle. So he will play in this match, you would assume.
Yeah, and what I like about him against teams like Derby, teams who are willing to come out and have a go at Chelsea, who leave gaps at the back, Schürrle is so quick. He's got such good pace that I think he could exploit them. Just one final one. Chelsea won at Derby 2-0 in the FA Cup last season. Not too dissimilar a team. Reading some of the comments from the Chelsea players, that they said that was a very hard game. So I think if you have a bet on Derby, whether it's just on them scoring a goal as part of a Chelsea win, or you know if you're betting in them playing, you know you're backing them to score a goal, I think you'll get a run for your money here from this Derby County team.
I do, and I wouldn't want to back Chelsea at 1-2 to win the match either.
Nah.
It's just a little bit short.
Yeah.
Sheffield United versus Southampton also Tuesday night, 7:45 PM kickoff. Sheffield United 5-1, the draw 14-5, Southampton 4-7 to qualify. Southampton 2-9 to qualify. Sheffield United 3-1. I reckon a lot of punters, Lee, will see Sheffield United at 5-1 and think about gobbling it up. To be honest, certainly got decent cup pedigree this side, reached the FA Cup semi-finals last year, beating Premier League sides Aston Villa and Fulham at the time before losing out to Hull City. They've already knocked West Ham out on penalties in this competition this season, and Southampton's recent plight has been well documented in the press. I mean, they've lost the last four in the league, and while they were arguably a little unlucky against both Arsenal and Manchester United, they were disappointingly against Burnley on Saturday. I thought that was a disappointing performance. Adding to that, Graziano Pella is suspended for this game as well. He picked up his fifth booking against Burnley. The only real thing they've got going for them, Southampton, is James Ward-Prowse. He made his return from that ankle injury against Burnley. He's been out for a couple of months and they missed him.
Yeah, I don't share your kind of negativity towards Southampton. I think when you look at this run of games that they've had, the Southampton game was pretty poor. Against Man City, they still had 9 shots on goal, lost 3-0. You know, they lost for that fair and square, to be honest with you. The Arsenal game, I thought they were very unlucky to lose that. You know, 89th minute winner from Alexis Sanchez. You know, they went down to 10 men because of injury. I think it was unfortunate. They had a game plan, they played it very, very well, and they got chinned in the last couple of minutes. Against Manchester United, 11 shots on goal. Man United did what they've been doing. They got their goals. We all know how bad Man United were on that day. Southampton really should have got something out of that. You know, at 0-0, Southampton miss a penalty. That game isn't won by Burnley if Southampton score that penalty. They shut that game down once they score that penalty.
Yep.
So again, I know I'm making excuses here, but what I'm saying is I don't think they're quite as bad as everyone's suddenly making out that they are.
I think they're just dropping to their natural position where they should be in the league right now.
But what I mean is I don't think Southampton, again, 11 shots on goal against Burnley, against, it's not like they're terrible. They're
still 4-7 to win away from home.
Awful price, don't get me wrong. And you mentioned like Pelé being out, I think that might help them a little bit.
Do you think so?
In a sense, I think it might just make the manager try something a bit different. And I think they could do with trying something a little different here, because obviously they're stuck in a bit of a rut and they can't quite get out of it. I think this is an ideal opportunity to go somewhere. And I think Sheffield United will come out and have a go at them. You know,
I don't think they will. Nigel Clough said after that game at the weekend against Fleetwood, he had all his players back and he was going to consider strongly tightening up at the back. And he intimated in that post-match press conference that he was going to keep things exceptionally tight against Southampton in this Capital One Cup clash.
if that is the case, and that's not generally how they play it, you know, if you've anyone's seen them on TV this season, you've seen that they're a nice football inside. You know, if that's the way he plays it, then I think it'll be a low scoring game then.
Yeah, I love the under 2.5 goals here is 10-11.
Hmm.
And that was a bet that really stood out to me in this one.
I think one of the two teams will want to go for
it. Do you think so?
Southampton, like I said, you know, 9 shots in that game against in the game against Man City. The way Arsenal, they shut up shop and only had 4 shots on goal. 11 against Man U, 11 against Burnley. I think they'll have a go for this. You know, Ronald Koeman doesn't strike me as a kind of manager who will sit back. I think Sheffield United won't be quite as dogged as that. I think they'll try and win the game at home, basically. Southampton don't play a kind of... They're not a team who sit back. They just like to get the ball off you. When they get the ball off you, they hit you hard. Now, we also know that Ronald Koeman puts out strong teams in cup competitions. He's won cup competitions before. He's won league titles in the countries that he's managed in. And he's said over and over again that he fancies winning a trophy and winning this. He wants to win everything. I think he'll go strong here. I think it's another both teams to score with a match winner.
Right,
I think,
okay.
But Southampton to win this. 13-5 for Southampton to win and both teams to score alike. No goal scorers, but if you find out that Sadio Mane, the Senegalese striker, is playing, he's had some really good reviews, just hasn't really had the chances so far, but he looks very lively. And I'd like to see his price away from home. His only goal this season was at home against Stoke for Southampton when they won 1-0. So if he's playing, I wouldn't mind having a look at his price to score. Been getting rave reviews from his teammates in training, and I think he needs a chance. And without Pelé there, this might well be the chance that they need. I put Southampton up as my my winner of the League Cup at the start of the competition. Did the podcast with Mark. That was before they beat Arsenal.
They were a big price, weren't they? I think
33s or something. Obviously, cause, you know, they had Arsenal basically, and then they had and then they beat Stoke, of course, 3-2 away from home. This is their they've just had loads and loads. Beat Millwall, beat Arsenal, beat Stoke. I mean, they're 9-2 now. I mean, the way they play at the minute, you wouldn't want that, would you? But I'm going to trust them again to get the job done here and keep going. But both teams to score. I can see Sheffield getting a goal, but Southampton eventually coming out winners.
13-5 Southampton and both teams to score. I couldn't disagree any more with you there, Lisa.
You think Sheffield will win?
I just don't think both teams will score in the game.
Okay.
I think it will be under the 2.5 goals, so obviously that bet wouldn't be able to land.
I don't think a League One team will be able to dictate the standard, the pattern of the game to a Premier League team.
That's a fair comment. We'll see if it's on Southampton, isn't it? It's on Southampton to take that game,
yes,
to Sheffield United on Tuesday night. Let's have a look at the games on Wednesday then. Bournemouth versus Liverpool. Bournemouth, God. Look at this. Bournemouth 5-2, the draw 12-5. Liverpool odds against
Liverpool,
21-20 to win against Bournemouth.
Can you
Bournemouth.
Believe that a trader anywhere in the world has priced Liverpool up at odds against a Championship club? They're not usually odds against a Premier League club, are they?
No.
They love Liverpool.
But they do love Liverpool historically. The traders, they are their bookmaker's best friend. I've mentioned this on the punt many times, but the last 5 or 6 years, it's only last year where Liverpool have been costly to the traders. This year, getting it all back again. Bournemouth top of the Championship, they'll be relishing this, won't they, Lee? They'll absolutely love this. Callum Wilson's having an incredible season up front for Bournemouth so far. They have been a little bit leaky at the back recently. So Liverpool might be able to, or you'd think they'd be able to exploit that, but given the way they've been less than clinical recently, maybe not. They've conceded at least 2 in the last 4 Championship matches, Bournemouth. And remember, these teams met in the fourth round of the FA Cup back in January, and Liverpool won 2-0. Goals on that occasion came from Daniel Sturridge and Victor Moses, and they're obviously not there anymore. Or Sturridge is, but he's barely ever available. Some of those decisions that Brendan Rodgers made on Sunday against Manchester United, I know that Raheem Sterling has to do better in those situations and has to be composure was the word that was used, bandied around consistently when talking about Raheem Sterling's performance. But he made some... I mean, I can't believe he took Adam Lallana off at half-time. I thought he was the best man in that first half for Liverpool. He created the big chance for Sterling before Rooney scored at the other end. And I don't get this. I don't get why he's brought Brad Jones in for Simon Mignolet either.
And dropped him indefinitely.
Yeah, if you're going to take your starting keeper out, you've got to have someone as backup who is performing in training and pushing for that starting spot. A young player with a lot of potential, for instance. They've got Brad Jones, who has shown that he cannot handle Premier League football. He's not a good enough keeper. If you're going to drop Mignolet, you've got to have someone better than Brad Jones to bring in. And he was exposed on a couple of occasions on Sunday afternoon. I thought it was an extraordinary decision by Rodgers, in all honesty.
But he looks a bit lost, doesn't he? I think, you know, he's caught in the headlights a little bit. You know, I was... They made a lot of good chances against Manchester United, didn't they? I think when you watch the game, you would have... There wasn't an awful lot in it. And you might have just edged it on general play to Liverpool, in actual fact, because of the chances they created. But, you know, Man United were clinical. And that, the worrying thing for Liverpool is that's what Bournemouth are as well. They score goals. I was more perturbed by Raheem Sterling's performance. I mean, to get yourself into that many good goal-scoring opportunities, not to just not score, but to not lift your head up and have the wherewithal and just the kind of footballing nous to look around and pick a teammate out. On each of those three occasions, those three glaring chances that he had, he could have passed the ball. And I'm not talking about some sort of, you know, Gerrard-esque pass, a little flick of the foot to one side. When he's gone around the keeper, how is that not resulting in the goal?
He just needs to hit it with his second touch.
Or give it to Balotelli, who's racing him behind him, unmarked.
Once he's taken that third touch and gone wide.
Crazy.
I know that he could have squared it to Balotelli. I've got a little bit of sympathy there for Raheem Sterling, because Balotelli... His run comes from deeper than it looks. At first glance, you think he's right there, but his run does come from deep. It's the fact that he doesn't take that shot on with his left foot. Because once he's gone round David De Gea, that is the simplest opportunity to tap that ball into an empty net.
Yep.
One other player, I know that you and Derek hate me for saying this, Steven Gerrard was completely non-existent in that match.
Yep.
I mean, he must never have had a match where he's been less influential than that.
Yeah.
And Rodgers has made some big decisions, made that decision not to go with or to play with what they call a false number nine on Sunday afternoon. He needs to make that decision whether or not to drop Gerrard. And I don't... He was completely out of his depth in that match.
I think there were a few of them who were just... Coutinho was another one who I thought was poor. The positive is that Liverpool are creating chances, obviously. You know, on another day, if De Gea hadn't been in such good form and Sterling had been a little bit more... had his eyes open a bit more, I think they would have maybe won the game, or at least got something out of the game or whatever. I backed Bournemouth... to beat West Brom in the previous round, and it wasn't really an upset. You know, I can't remember the odds now, but you know, there were the outsiders, I think. Or they might not even be, the draw might have been bigger than Bournemouth actually, and against West Brom, and they did it because West Brom are a very good attacking team, and they play football, they play everything the right way. Blah blah blah. I think they're gonna beat Liverpool here.
Oh, I couldn't again. I disagree. I think Liverpool are a good price. At 21-20.
But where can you see them outscoring Bournemouth?
I think Balotelli will play, and I think he'll score. I think
he did look sharp, didn't he?
I think he likes bullying these little teams as well. I think he'll start Balotelli, and I think Balotelli will have a decent game against Bournemouth.
See, Liverpool are a good price.
Who concede?
From a pure betting point of view, you're getting a Premier League team who are odds against a Championship team, but
it's not just a Premier League team either, is it? This is a In Premier League terms, this is a top quality side. This is a side that challenged for the championship in the Premier League last season. It's not Sunderland going away to Bournemouth.
No, but they've only beaten QPR and Leicester away from home so far. When they beat QPR, they were lucky to beat QPR 3-2, and QPR were really unlucky to lose that game. Leicester, fair enough, they beat Leicester, you know, 3-1. Leicester did have their captain sent off after 63 minutes.
I think you'll have punters queuing around the corner for odds against Liverpool.
Yeah, and I think that's why they've put them odds against. I think they're trying to get them in the book, to be honest with you. I mean, I just, in cup competitions, if I've got a confident team in the lower division going up against a team who are lacking in confidence in the higher division, I'm always happy to take them on. I'm always happy to go with the confident team.
What sort of team do you think Rodgers will play?
I think he's got to play his strongest team.
I think he's
it's the only
to
competition
play
they can
team.
Win. Yeah, I mean, they could win the Europa League, but it's unlikely, isn't it? I've got no question that they'll play a strong team here. Looking at the teams that they've already played this season in the game against Middlesbrough, which by the way they had to they drew 2-2, remember, and got through on penalties. I mean, you know, scrolling past the penalties, the team that they played in that one was Mignolet, Torre, Sacco, Enrique, Mankia, Lever, Lallana, Sterling, Rossiter, Lambert and Markovic. Balotelli, Williams and Suso came off the bench in that one. In the game against Swansea, which they won 2-1 with a 95th minute Lovren winner. Remember, they were 1-0 down and looking terrible until Balotelli got the equaliser in the 86th minute. That team was Brad Jones, Torre, Johnson, Lovren, Mankio, Lever, Henderson, Coutinho, Lambert, Barini and Markovic. There's not an awful lot in there that scares me if I'm a Bournemouth.
I just wonder whether he must have something in for Adam Lallana. I couldn't believe it when Balotelli. I could understand why Balotelli was coming on at half time. I just couldn't believe Lallana was the one to make way after that first half. I thought when he picked up the ball, he showed glimpses and just that little touch of creativity that Liverpool needed, and he got Sterling in. I was amazed by that decision, and I think they'll go to Bournemouth and win. I think they might win comfortably as well. I think there's going to be a reaction on Wednesday night.
We're going to go head to head here.
We're going head to head. Are you going Bournemouth to win in the 90 minutes then?
I think I'm going Bournemouth minus one.
You really?
Yeah, 13-2. Well, Bournemouth have scored more goals than any other team in all four divisions. 44 goals they've scored this season. They will go for this. There's no reason not to. They'll attack Liverpool. Liverpool defensively were woeful. Whatever they did going forward, they were woeful against Man U. I think the safest bet of all for me would be over 3.5 goals. But it's 21-10. It's not that, you know, I'd have wanted that, you know, at least 5-2. I think there will be goals in this. You know, each of the last four games at the Goldsons have been over 3.5. I could really see Bournemouth having a great day here. They're unbeaten in 12. I think they're just on a great run at the minute. You know, the winning streak at the minute is fantastic. They've won 9 of the 12. So confident. Liverpool so lacking confidence at the minute. The minus one is obviously a flyer. Yeah. It's obviously a bit of a fun bet. I'm not saying that's my main bet in the match. I'll go over 3.5 for my main bet. The 5-2 is a bit short for me, really. But yeah, I'll. I mean, Bournemouth to win and both teams to score is 5-1.
You can back Bournemouth to qualify at 13-8 as well, which is nice if you fancy Bournemouth.
I like Bournemouth here.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on to the last game then. If we disagree here as well, that will be something. Tottenham-Newcastle is the fourth quarter. Tottenham 17-20. The draw 5-2. Newcastle 16-5. Qualification prices. Tottenham to qualify 4-9. Newcastle 13-8. And this is 7th versus 8th in the Premier League as far as the standings are concerned. Newcastle have already been there, of course, once this season. They won 2-1 back in October. And again, it's something I mentioned on the punt at the weekend. I think team news is vital. Mike Williamson mentioned him, started centre-half against Arsenal and they tore them apart because he started centre-half. He's no good. And they got walloped. They got walloped by Arsenal, tactically naive in that match. And that's something Alan Pardew came out and said after the match. He said, I've got this one wrong, basically. Shouldered plenty of the blame for that performance. But they've got a full, or reportedly, they're going to have a full squad to pick from, apart from Daryl Yanmat, who is out suspended. That's good news for Newcastle because Moussa Sissoko will be back and Stephen Taylor will be back. they can go there and win this.
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, you know, we mentioned before the weekend that Sissoko would be a big miss, and I was pleased to see Pardew after the loss saying, "We missed Sissoko."
Yeah.
It's always good when you're in tune with the... I mean, Arsenal were great, though, by the way. Arsenal had one of those days where it was suddenly like, you really want Arsene Wenger to go? They just look brilliant. But I think, you know, the thing with Newcastle is if they go a goal down early, then they're in trouble. You know, we talked before the weekend. I mean, my thoughts on that game were that I thought Newcastle would be able to keep it tight, and it would be tight all the way through the game until Arsenal eventually got them done. But it didn't work out like that. Arsenal got the early goal, then Newcastle got a chase, and they're going to get picked off.
It was because of the personnel, though, and yeah. I mean, Williamson, not a Premier League centre half, and. I don't. Hopefully, he won't play on Wednesday night. Don't think he will.
Well, I don't think Tottenham are anywhere near the same kind of team as Arsenal at home at the minute. You know, the home form has improved. You know, the 0-0 against Crystal Palace was poor, but they had beaten Everton, beaten Partizan, lost to Stoke, beaten Brighton in the last round of the League Cup, of course. But I agree with you. I'm going to stick with my thoughts on Newcastle. My thoughts before the Arsenal game was that they had the blueprint for beating a team who are supposedly better than them and who will attack them, because that's what they did when they went to City and won 2-0 in the League Cup. I think they'll do the same thing again here. They'll try and do the same thing again. Didn't work against Arsenal, but I think they'll have more joy this time. The bet that did land in that Arsenal-Newcastle game was second half to be the highest scoring.
Yes.
And I'll play that again. You know, the stat still stands at, you know, Newcastle don't score goals early on. You look at Tottenham's recent home form. You know, it took 49th minute till the first goal went in against Partizan. Did score in the first half against Everton. 77th minute before they scored against Stoke as well. Didn't score in the first half against Brighton, who are a team who are very defensive minded and like to keep it tight going away from home. So I think they'll struggle again here to break open Newcastle. If the early goal goes in, that obviously goes out the window. But I still think the second half to be the highest scoring half is worth a look, even if they happen to score early on. Say 21-20, but the Arsenal one was 23-20, and that copped. So I'll play that. And if forced to pick a winner, I'd go for Newcastle just at 16-5.
You know, I can back them to qualify as well. 13-8 they are to qualify. That gives you some hope if it's a draw at 90 minutes as well. I agree. I think Newcastle will... I don't rate Tottenham that highly. 17-20 Tottenham to win the game. The draw 5-2 and Newcastle in the market at 16-5.
Just all this negativity about playing at home doesn't... I don't like that.
Adebayor
talking about it. It's become a thing now. Mm. And they seem to prefer going away from home. As the run of 2-1s has shown at Swansea, at Asteris and at Hull in recent times, plus Villa.
They were fortunate against Swansea. I know I was trying to nap Swansea on the Weekend Pump podcast.
You say that, but
they were fortunate. Ericsson
Swansea
scored,
were terrible defensively.
They're making a habit of scoring late goals away from home, aren't they, Spurs? And
yeah.
Ericsson got one again. It was woeful defending not to clear your lines at that.
I'm trying to pass the ball there.
Yeah, that stage of the match.
Stupid,
inside the last minute.
That's the thing. I know it's very quick. That's my problem with Swansea, is that they're very pretty going forward, but they don't do the basics well enough for me.
They're going to, if Wilfred Bony leaves, it's going to be tough for them in the second half of the season. He said he was staying, didn't he?
Yeah, he kind of pointed and went, "I'm staying here."
Yeah.
But he's not staying here during January, of course, because he's going to the Africa Cup of Nations. Mm. It's going to be a massive miss for them, because I don't think Gomez is half as good a player as him.
Good stuff. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
We've been talking for ages, haven't we?
We have. If you're still here, thank you. Much respect.
If you're not, why not?
Yeah,
they
can't answer us. Thank you for listening to the Pump Podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at @dkellner and at @LeePhelps. Remember to check out William Hill's Audio Boom page as well. Go to audioboom.com, type in William Hill. You'll find all our podcast there. Check out all the betting on site, of course. Go to sports.williamhill.com, click on football. You can find the Capital One Cup matches via the daily match list, and go to all competitions and you'll see we've priced up all the Champions League matches and the Europa League matches for the next stage as well. Thank you for listening to the Punt Podcast again, and we'll speak again at the weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.